Man, oh man, that is beautiful, baby. Good morning, Christ Church. Like you said, as you can see, I got a lot of energy today. I just love this church. I love being here. My name is Jovan. For those who do not know who I am, I'm a pastor here on staff at Christ Church. I've been invited here to speak, and I just want to give honor to where honor is due first. And I want to give honor to our campus pastor, Katie. She is amazing. I love Katie, guys. Let's give a big round of applause for a great leader that we have in Katie. I mean, Katie is spontaneous. She is bold. She is courageous. She is loving. She's what we would call God's hand picked. And I'm thankful for her that she invited me up here to speak to you guys and to share this awesome message for you guys. First of all, I want to give another shout out to all of our first and second time guests. If this is your first time being here, man, we want you to know that we love you. We believe here at Christ Church, you don't have to necessarily believe in what we believe in to belong. We're just glad that you're here, right? We're just glad that you're here with us, spending your time with us on this awesome morning. And it's an honor to serve you guys. So we're continuing our sermon series that we've been in for the last few weeks, and it's called I Choose. Everybody say, I Choose. And what we've been talking about in this sermon series is we've been trying to navigate our way through values, right? Because we all come from, live from, and have established a set of values. And what we want to try to do today is not try to establish the right values, because I believe that's what life is all about. But I want to talk about where we should put our values and how important that is today. And I just pray that today's message would literally stir your hearts, because I came in to challenge you, right? I didn't come in just to give you some type of word where you can just think about it and you forget about it tomorrow. I want this to last throughout the rest of the week, throughout the month, and I want this to challenge you and to change you in an abundant way, because I believe God invites us into this type of service, in this type of congregation, to one thing, and that's to change us. So will you lean in just a little bit and hear what I believe what God wants each and every one of us to hear? And will you bow your heads in prayer with me before I begin? Father, we are just thankful that you are the light of our lives. You're the one speaking to us every single day. Father, I'm thankful that you are close to those who are far from you. But Lord, I pray right now in this service at this moment that you would use me right here, right now, to speak through your people. You would use me to challenge people to understand values and how important it is in their lives. Lord, I just pray that someone in this service will be changed, just one person. One person would walk out of here closer to you and closer to their destiny and closer to their purpose. I love you, God, and I love what you're going to do through us, because I know what you have done for us. In Christ's name is who I pray. Amen. So I want to take it all the way back. I want to tell you guys a quick little story about maybe 10 plus years ago. I remember when I got my very first job, right? I was maybe like a senior in high school, maybe 17, 18 years old. And I remember my first job, and it was at this very elite corporation. Some of you guys may have heard it before. Maybe some of you guys had a birthday party there, or maybe you stopped there when you're traveling and because you got hungry. I'm talking about none other than Burger King. Burger King was my very first job. Remember that, Mom? My very first job. And what I love about that Burger King was that it was two things while I was excited. Number one, because, you know, brother was going to get paid. I mean, I was a teenager making money. That makes me super excited. But also, number two, I was excited because of the free food, or so I thought. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. But one thing that I've noticed is when I started working at Burger King is I've noticed that the people that was there, here's what I'm trying to say. I wasn't around my normal peers that I was around with every single day, like at high school. I wasn't around teenagers at this job. At this job, I was around people that were, how can we say, a lot older than me, but not just a lot older than me, but a lot more experienced than I was. And they allowed their experience to impact and to influence their behaviors and their thoughts and et cetera, et cetera. What I'm trying to say that the people that I was around were from different backgrounds. They had different lifestyles and all these types of things. There was this one lady, for the sake of confidentiality, we're going to call her Linda. And this one lady, I'll never forget, she was a sweet, older lady. She was super nice. But one thing Linda did all the time was I caught her every shift stealing something. Literally, all she would do was steal. She would always steal food. And the weird thing about it is she would put food in her pocket and eat it from her pocket. I was like, Linda, that's nasty. You can't be doing that. She would put onion rings and french fries in her pocket and just eat it while she works. I'm like, Linda, that's not how life's supposed to be. Like, what are you doing? But she would constantly, religiously do it every single shift that I worked with her with. And here's one thing I asked her one day. I said, hey, can I ask you a question? Aren't you afraid of getting in trouble? Aren't you afraid of, like, hey, if you get caught, they're gonna let you go, that you're going to get in a lot of trouble? You want to know one thing she said to me? She said, get in trouble? Why should I be afraid about getting in trouble? They need me here. They need me here. They wouldn't fire me. I'm the one that works, but I'm not supposed to be working. They pay me minimum wage, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. I deserve this food. I want to get 15-minute breaks. She went on and on and on. And some of you might be thinking about right now, when you use your brain, you might be saying to yourself, well, that sounds ignorant. When I was a teenager, I didn't use my brain. I used something else. But here's the thing. What I'm trying to tell you is that I thought that what she was saying made sense. Because I'm saying to myself, like, you know what? She's right. I do deserve extra food. I do deserve this, and I do deserve that. I kind of built this persona that, hey, you know what? They deserve, they should give something to me. So what did I decide? I said, you know what? I'm going to take a burger one day. One day, I'll never forget, I was going to make this awesome sandwich, and before I left for my shift, I made a filet burger sandwich. It was awesome. Don't judge me. I had a fish filet on there. I had a burger patty on there. I had ketchup and lettuce and onions and tomatoes, and I wrapped it up, and I put it in my pocket, and I proceeded to walk out, right? Didn't pay for it, didn't tell anybody about it. As I was walking out, my manager tapped me on the shoulder and said, Anderson, come on inside real quick. And he asked me, he said, hey, what's in your pocket? And here I am acting all stupid. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, all I got is my wallet and my phone. That's it. He said, what's in your front pocket? And I was like, I don't have anything. Like, what are you talking about? And I, honest to God, he said, it's not like you got pregnant overnight, is it? And I'm like trying not to laugh, but like I am laughing, and he's getting a little bit more and more angry at me. The moral of the story, to make this story short, I got in trouble that day. I got caught stealing. But the reason why I tell you this story is the reason why I share that with you is, isn't it interesting how one person's actions can influence my own? How one person's actions and one person's thoughts on life can influence my own. And this has happened in many areas in my life. That's just one example. Like, I remember, like, people used to always say to me, like, it's okay to be late to your job. Right? It's not a big deal if you're 5 minutes late, if you're 10 minutes late, if you're 15 minutes late. And I thought that that was okay. See, here's what I want you guys to know. And I can go on and on about things that we picked up from people, because chances are you and I have adopted someone else's values and we've made it our own. And like, that's normal. That's what life is about. A lot of us have that in life. A lot of us have values because they were passed on. But here's what I want you to know. If you adopt the wrong values, you adopt the wrong character. That's just true. If you adopt the wrong values and you live out those values and you allow those values to be a part of who you are, chances are you adopt the wrong character, the wrong attitude, maybe even the wrong action, the wrong perspective. I have to realize that a lot of my nasty habits that I have in life is because of sometimes people. And what I allow people and how I allow them to influence me in my life. I've allowed my work environment, I've allowed my friends, I've allowed people that I associate with to influence my priorities and shift them into places that it shouldn't be. But here's the thing, you know, when it comes to being around people, especially people at our jobs, we're around them 20 to 50 hours a week, we're around our friends so much in our lives, we run the risk at mimicking their behavior. And mimicking them as well. But most importantly, we run the risk of mimicking their values and losing ours. What's dangerous is, and I've noticed that I've done this plenty of times in my life, what's dangerous, I give people power that they don't deserve. Why do people stress me out? They're people. Like, do you know I have control of my emotions? Do you know I have control of what I think? But some reason, somehow, I allow my boss, I allow my coworkers, I allow people to dictate my joy. And I give people power. I give people power. I don't know about you, but that's a dangerous game that I played plenty in my life. The reason why I've grown stressful, the reason why I'm angry, the reason why I'm discontent, I'm easily offended, all of the above is because I've allowed people to rob what matters most. in my life. Most of my emotional destruction that I have, most of my emotional inward of dysfunction is because I value the wrong things. And so do you. All of us do. Most of the reason why we are who we are, most of the reasons why we get angry, most of the reason why we get discontent is because the values that we have inside. The truth is that we shouldn't allow our environment and our association to create or shift our values, the values that are dead. Instead, we should approach work, we should approach life, we should approach our people that we hang out with, that we're around, already established with a firm set of values, influenced by God himself. Because here's what I want you to know. When I value what God values, I live out my best self. Let me say that one more time. When I live out what God values, not with anybody else, but what God values, I live out and I become my best self. But here's the thing. If I can be honest, a lot of us aren't living our best selves right now. A lot of us haven't even touched what we call potential. A lot of us aren't living that best self. And I believe that, man, when we get this right, when I value what God values, my marriage has a chance. My career, my workplace has a chance. My soul, it has a chance as well. So I want to challenge us a little bit today in understanding what that looks like and how that can affect us and how we can reach that. Because when I value what God says is important, what God says it should be up on a priority list, then I have a chance and I win. That doesn't mean I don't have suffering. That doesn't mean I don't have some things that happen in my life, but that means I have destiny and I have something called a calling in my life. So what I want to do is I want to reach right down in the scriptures. I want to open up our Bibles, if you guys have it with us, or to be up on the screen. And I want to search back about maybe 2,000 years ago by a writing by a guy that some of us know. His name is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was this great church leader, a man who did many great things for Christianity in the beginning and continued it throughout his lifetime. The Apostle Paul was responsible for planting churches and raising up churches and doing great things. But not only would Paul raise up churches, Paul would raise up leaders to lead these churches, right? Right. He had this guy by the name of Barnabas and this guy by the name of Timothy and this couple named Priscilla and Aquila and all these really weird names. But there was this one guy that I want to read from today. His name was Titus. Titus is a sweet name. If you're looking to name your baby, Titus is a sweet name. I don't know why I like that. And Titus was this leader of this church that Paul had established. The thesis of this whole thing is for us to understand Paul is writing this to Titus because he wants Titus to know that in order for him to be effective in his work, in order to be effective in his leadership, in his home, he has to value what God values. I'm opening up with Titus. It's in the New Testament. It's the second half of the Bible. It's Titus chapter 2. I'm going to begin with the verses 11 through 14 to give a little bit more context. But in the beginning of this chapter, Paul is beginning to describe to this church what values are. What are real values? Paul wanted to explain that in order for you and I to have the right response in conflict, to have the right behavior in pressure moments, to have the right attitude, we have to adopt these values. I just want to list off a couple of things. He said something about effort, right? We should value effort in our focus and putting energy in the right places. We should value honor and being well-pleasing to one another. We should honor submitting. All of us have to submit to somebody, right? We all have somebody that we all report to at our jobs. And maybe it's your spouse. But we all have somebody that we got to report to in our lives, right? And Paul is talking about these things. But Paul brings up this one word that I feel like it has so much power. He's talking about integrity. You know, integrity is an important thing. Because if I'm being honest, I didn't have much integrity in my own life. I had this thing called multiple personalities disorder, which means that sometimes I would act different depending on whoever was around me. But you know, at the core of integrity, at the core of it, it's being one person the whole time, not shifting for anybody else. I know this, I shift for a lot of people that don't deserve. I know that I act different for a lot of people, Because sometimes people have that type of influence on me, and integrity is such a beautiful thing. Paul wants to communicate to this church that we should align our lives with these things, with these type of values. But if I'm honest with myself, maybe you look at this and maybe you say to yourself, man, some of those things that he's asking out of us, it seems impossible. Why should I value some of those things? Why should I be honorable? Why should I be respectful? Do you know what people have done to me? Do you know that I have been stabbed in the back over and over at my workplace, in my home, with people? Why should I do those things? Because on the surface, that looks great, but if I'm being honest, when it comes to practicality, man, that's tough. Why should I do some of those things when I've been hurt myself? We all fall under this one category, and that's called pain. It's called pain. Now, how am I supposed to live out these things when I'm living in pain? Well, how am I supposed to live out these virtues, these values, these things when I have been overwhelmed in life? Paul gives us an answer, and it's a beautiful answer. It seems simple, but it is so powerful. This is where our reading picks up. Paul picks it up in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. He says this, the reason why we should have some of those values is this. For the grace of God has appeared. That's it. I can drop the mic. We can all go home and go to Cracker Barrel. We can all go home and eat. The grace of God has appeared. Why should I value those things? Because God has been gracious in my life. God has been gracious in my life for me to have the right values, to take on the right attitude, to commit to the right things, to be the person, to have the action. I need to live and to respond from God's grace. God's grace is simple for us to define. It's pretty much called what we call unmerited favor. See, the world, we work off the merit system. You do well in school, you get a degree. You do well in sports, you get an award. You do well at work, you get a promotion, you get raises, and you get status. But here's the thing, God doesn't operate off what you do. God operates off what he does, which is grace. Meaning God has blessed you and I beyond what we can ever imagine. And here's the thing, all the things that you have in your life, you don't deserve it. That's grace. Think about the worst thing that you've ever done right now. Don't say it out loud because you might get kicked out. Think about that one thing that you regret the most in your life. Think about that one addiction that you struggle with. Think about that one thing I have been planning in my mind, and for some reason, I'm still breathing. That's grace. That's grace. God has been gracious to me, and he's been gracious to us. You know, years ago, man, a lot has happened when I was a teenager, if you think about it. When I was about maybe 17, 16 years old, a couple of my friends, we were in a horrible car accident. I'll never forget what the road was called. It was called Benbow Road. My one buddy had just got his license, and he was doing 80 in a 35. And this road happened to be extremely hilly, had a lot of hills on this road. And we were driving, we were going faster, and he was picking up. He went 50, he went 60, 75. Now, you know, he hit 80. We hit a bump, flipped over about two or three times. The ambulance, when they had showed up on scene, they thought that, man, somebody was either seriously injured or somebody died. All four of us walked out with no scratches. Now, to you, you might say, oh, that's just lucky. Like, you got lucky, whatever. No, that's God's grace. God is gracious to those who are close to him and also gracious those who are far away from him. God is gracious in our lives. How has God shown you grace? The reason why I should value some of those things, the reason why I give effort at my job, why I give effort in my marriage, why I give effort in those places, why I'm honorable, why I'm forgiving, why I'm well-pleasing is not because what I get, but what he's done. That's the reason why I operate from these type of values. And it's not about what I can get, but it's about what God has given me. You know what favor is? What God has taken me out of and what God has brought me. I know we all got something that we all struggle with. And do you know God's grace to take you out of that? I know we all have some past things that were holding us back, that were pinning us down. But did you know God came in and rescued you and you didn't even know it? God sent you your husband. God sent you your wife. God sent you those friends in your life to rescue you, to save you. I hold on to these values because God valued me. That's awesome. That's awesome. God says, I love you. That's the reason why. The grace that has appeared, meaning in this verse, Jesus himself, my drive in my life is not to be more like what my boss tells me or what anybody else tells me or what society tells me. My drive in my life is to be more like Christ. I take on his character, not anybody else's character. Because his character gives my marriage a chance. His character gives my career a chance. His character gives everything in my life a chance. That's why I'm honorable. That's why I'm submitting. That's why I have integrity, because of what Christ displayed for me. I got grace. I know that's wrong grammar, but that's okay. I got grace. I may not be as skilled as other people. I may not have the degree like other people, but I'll tell you what I do have. Grace. I may not have the ideal job. I may not have the ideal position. I may be living from paycheck to paycheck. I may still struggle with addiction, but I got grace. I may have worries. I may have a hard time enjoying my life. I may struggle to get out of bed, cry myself to sleep, but I tell you what I do have. Grace. I got grace. I value life because God valued me. God valued me. This is what motivates me, not fear, not a paycheck, not people, grace. And I don't work in my life to get things, because when it comes to grace, I already have everything that I need. We can't expect the world and our jobs to give us what God can only give us. When I appreciate all that he's done for me, I want to live for him. Therefore, I discipline my body every day, daily submitting to grace first, not submitting to people's opinions of me, not submitting to people's idea of what my life should be, but submitting to his grace first. But in order for me to be effective, I need to connect to his grace. Grace, therefore, now influences me. Right, my influence comes from grace. Everything comes from grace. My decision-making comes from grace. The way that I respond comes from grace. The way that I deal with conflict should come from grace. I don't do it all the time, but it should come from grace. Grace sets the standards. Look at verse 12. Not only does it say why we should hold these values, he also describes what these values do to us. He says this: it trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Now that I look at what God has done for me, I now bend towards what I need to be. You see that? I now bend towards what I need to be, which means I have this two rule in my life. If you want to write this down, you take down notes, you put it in your phone, whatever you want to do. I always have to have this idea. I have to live my life what I need to take out and what I need to bring in. That's a daily awareness that I need to do. What do I need to take out and what do I need to take in? But I want to add to that a little bit, but also what do I need to correct? I have this one addiction that I really want to share with you, and I feel terrible sharing this with you, but I have this one addiction, and I do this all the time. I complain a lot. And my complaint is usually because of my pride. The reason why I complain about everything is because I'm prideful about everything. I complain about my job. I complain about this. Everything can be in order. I can have everything that I want. I can have a full bank account. I can have a full tank of gas. I can have whatever, and I still find something to complain about. I've noticed that I've gotten into seasons where I've complained more than I was grateful for. And I have to wrestle with that. I got to wrestle with that in my life. Because if you experience God's grace, you ain't got nothing to complain about. You ain't got nothing to complain about. One time, God had to punch me in my stomach and remind me, dude, do you know how much you have in your life? Do you know what you have in front of you? But instead, you're looking at all these little spots. We all can find something. We all can find a discrepancy everywhere. But that's easy. The place to look at is grace and what he's done for me. What grace does, this is what grace does as well. Grace tells me and reminds me that I should stand out and be better. Be better than complaining. And I'm not saying that so to come off arrogant or anything, because I stand out and I think that God wants to do something inside of me. That's the reason why I am who I am. For instance, I remember there's this manager at this other job that I have. Let's just be honest. A lot of people don't like her. And she manages a very, what we can call an interesting way. And she comes off very, how can I say, power crazy. And a lot of us don't like her. But just because we see a fault and a flaw in somebody else doesn't give us the right to talk about them. You know, one thing that I've noticed in this world that we glorify gossip. And I've been in the middle of gossip. I've been in the middle of talking about it. It's one thing to challenge the way that they manage, to challenge the way who they are, but it's another thing to challenge their character. One day, this very manager came in, and she was, I can notice that she was crying, right? But again, I built up this idea that, hey, I don't like her, you know, I don't want to do anything with her, so I'm trying to avoid her. She comes up to me, and y'all, she's not a Christian. She comes up to me, and she says, can you pray for me? I lost my baby. What? We're not supposed to like you, but man, I feel bad for you. This is terrible. She's like, I lost my baby last week. It was so interesting that I had to do a flashback and I had to think back and say, man, that's when we were bashing her. Y'all, we don't know the half of what's going on in people's lives. That doesn't give you or I the right to talk about them, to blast them, to go after them. And what was I supposed to do? Was I supposed to allow my perception of her take action? Or do I let grace take action? Because what Jesus tells me and what Jesus reminds us, do unto others as you like for them to do for yourself. Jesus tells me and reminds us that man, and people will know that you are a follower of me, not by how you preach up here, not by how well you sing. Jesus said that they will notice that you are a follower of me by the way that you love. And that's a value. Not love like towards your spouse. I mean love towards somebody that's hard to love. Who is hard to love in your life? Because I believe that, man, when we have that virtue, when we have that value, loving that person does something in us. It does something in me when I love difficult people. Jesus says it's easy to love easy people, but it builds something in you when you love the difficult. Because that's what grace does. Grace reminds me to dish it and to give it. But here's the one thing. Here's how I kind of want to end today, and I'm going to end this talk. I really want you guys to come to terms with this because this is so special. Valuing our lives comes from us understanding that you and I have a calling in our lives. You and I were not put on this earth to be mediocre. You and I were not put on this earth to be average. We aren't average Joes in this place. God didn't go on the cross. Jesus didn't go on the cross so I can be mediocre in my life. You and I have a calling. For you to have the right values, which means you need to connect to your calling. I need to connect that I'm called. Look what verse 14, look what he says. God himself gave himself up to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people, listen, for his own possession. When I focus on performing for others, when I get obsessed with success, when I'm constantly putting the pressure on myself, I eventually imprison myself. But this verse tells me that Christ died. And Christ redeemed me, which means that I don't go to my job. I don't approach life focused on pleasing others. I am driven in life to please Christ. I'm called by God first. I represent him first. In my career, in my life, it may not be where I wanted to be. It may not be where I wanted to be, but I'm a vessel. I'm built and created for good works and to him. No longer would I be living life by what's in front of me, by the difficulty in my life, but what God has placed inside of me. No longer will I just be focused on my complaint, be focused on what others have done and what others are doing. I'm going to be living my life saying that I have purpose, that I am driven, that I am called, that I have life and I have it in abundance, and I'm going to do what I need to do. Therefore, because I got grace in my life, and so do you. I don't need a title to prove my worth. I don't need a salary. I don't need a degree. I don't need any of those things to prove my worth. Because of my calling is all that I need. I'm a Christ follower first. I'm a follower of Christ. And when that is my life, then I set myself up to win. Which means this, everywhere in my life is a mission place. I'm gonna exert everything that I have, everything that I need to give in every spot that I am. At my jobs, in my marriage, I'm gonna give everything, because you never know. The season that you're in is gonna prepare you for your season that you're going to be in eventually. The moments that I'm in are going to prepare me for moments in the future, because I'm a weapon. I'm called. I got grace. I don't care what other people think about me. Quite frankly, if you don't like this, I don't care, because I know I'm called. I know I have a calling in my life. But here's what I want you guys to understand. Jesus himself did the impossible. He did the impossible so that you and I can make life possible. You hear that? He did the impossible. Bring up verse 14. It's right up there. So we give himself people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Zealous means passionate. The passion Christ showed is the passion I'm going to show in my life. He made what was impossible so I can be possible in my own life. This is something we got to get. I want to speak to every one of you today. You're not mediocre. You're not bound to what people say about you, to your boss, to your past, to what mom did, to what dad did, to your environment. Christ broke that chain so you can be set free. So I value what he's done. Therefore, my life can begin. My life starts with Christ. I can't be the man that I need to be for this girl if I'm not living for him. You can't be that parent that you need to be. You can't be that person that you need to be if you're not valuing what Christ has done. So I want you guys to know this today as I break up in prayer. Ask that God would stir something up in you. That he would work out what needs to be worked out. That he would do something special in you. Because your future starts, listen, your future starts when you submit to his grace. And that's what I want to do today. So I want to say a quick prayer for everyone. I want to say the prayer to the skeptic, to those who have been believing for a while, whoever it may be. God wants to do something special in me. Because I'm a vessel, I'm a weapon, and I'm called by God. Jesus didn't go on that cross so I can be mediocre in my marriage, in my workplace. He went on the cross so I can make life possible. Let me say a prayer. God, I thank you. I thank you for who you are and what you're doing in my life. I need you. I need your values. I need to know what's important in my life so I can love my spouse better, so I can love my work more, so I can understand it's not about what's in front of me, it's what you placed inside of me, the grace that I have. And I pray for my brothers and my sisters in this room today. Some of us are living in values that are dead, that have no future, no light. Help them to adopt your values, which you say is important. Because when I do that, I live my life with destiny. Thank you for the breath that I breathe. Thank you for the bed that I lay in. Thank you for the people that are in my life. Thank you for the clothes that are on my body. Thank you for the money that is in my account. Thank you for the bills that are being paid now and the bills that will be paid later on. I just thank you in advance for all that you've done. I love you, God, and I'm thankful for you. In Jesus' name is who I pray. Amen.